Today's devotional is Micah 5:7-15. Then the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, which delay not for a man, nor wait for the children of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the nations, in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the forest, like a young lion among the flocks of sheep, which, when it goes through, treads down and tears in pieces, and there is none to deliver. Your hand shall be lifted up over your adversaries, and all your enemies shall be cut off. In that day, declares the Lord, I will cut off your horses from among you, and will destroy your chariots, and I will cut off the cities of your land, and throw down all your strongholds. And I will cut off sorceries from your hand, and you shall have no more tellers of fortunes. And I will cut off your carved images and your pillars from among you, and you shall bow down no more to the work of your hands. And I will root out your Asherah images from among you, and destroy your cities. And in anger and wrath I will execute vengeance on the nations that did not obey. Yesterday, we looked at the first part of this chapter, Micah 5, where it was a clear prophecy of the Messiah, Jesus. Micah talked about the impending judgment on the Israelites for all of their sin, but in the midst of these proclamations of judgment, there is great hope. The greatest hope of all, of course, is Jesus, who indeed, as the first part of Micah 5 promised, was born in the lowly town of Bethlehem. Just picking verse 4 to highlight what was promised of Jesus. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Jesus coming in the flesh to earth began the fulfillment of these prophecies about him. He already established his kingdom with his coming, and at the same time, we are living now in a time where it's also not fully realized. For example, from verse 4, God is still in the process of making Jesus' name great to the ends of the earth. There are still people who have yet to hear the good news, and there will be a day when Jesus' name is surely great in all the earth. In today's passage, we continue to see God's promises through Jesus, now focused on the remnant. Verse 7 in the ESV starts with a key word indicating the connection, then, showing that we're still focusing on the effects of Jesus. The remnant of Israel, as we know, was a small portion of Israelites who stayed in Israel, while the rest of the people were forced into Babylonian exile. We read in other Old Testament books like Ezra and Nehemiah, how after 70 years, a small group of exiles were able to go back to Jerusalem to join the remnant, and they rebuilt the temple, but in that time, it was kind of sad compared to the previous temple. Without going into it too much, we see in this passage here and throughout the Old Testament that many of the prophecies about Israel being reestablished were not fulfilled for this specific remnant of Israel, because the prophecies were so much grander and more glorious. For example, this remnant of Israelites that stayed through the exile would have never been described as a young lion among flocks of sheep, as we see in this passage, by people looking at the situation. While there are various interpretations, one that seems to make sense is that the church is part of the fulfillment of these prophecies. So going back to the verses, in verses 7 to 9, the remnant of Jacob could likely refer to the church. It is in the midst of many peoples, and like a lion, it is an instrument of life and death to those around it. My study Bible points out 2 Corinthians 2, where the church is described as an aroma that brings death to some, and to others, an aroma of life. Micah says in verse 9 here, your hand shall be lifted up over your adversaries, and all your enemies shall be cut off. This will be a time where God triumphs over his enemies. Again, we see parts of this coming true, and this is an encouragement that we will fully see this one day. We will see the church rising up and being glorified by God. The second part of this passage shows more of what God will do for the remnant who he delivers. There are several things that he cuts off: your horses, your chariots, the cities of your land, your strongholds. At first, reading this, I was really confused. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? But then he goes on. He will also cut off sorcerers from your land, fortune tellers, carved images, and pillars, and there's no more bowing down to the work of your hands. Now, those are clearly good things in following God, basically not having idols. So looping back to the first things, God promises to cut off horses, chariots, cities, and strongholds, which are traditionally considered measures of strength. But it's actually a good thing for the Israelites that those things are cut off. With Jesus as a ruler, there is no need for military strength. His people simply need to rely on him. In verse 15, God promises that the nations who disobey him will receive his anger and wrath. Once again, as God's people, we are in the midst of God's fulfillment of these prophecies. The reign of our Messiah, Jesus, is not a military one as some hoped for. It's even bigger and better. From the first part of the passage, let's remember that we are instruments of life and death to the people around us. Let's remember that God has positioned us uniquely to witness to others that we have true life in God and that we're not just living for ourselves. And from the second part that we read, let's recenter our trust in him. Remember, God's remnant is cut off from putting hope in idols, as well as things created by our own hands. And it's also cut off from putting hope in good things that can take away our trust from him. The equivalent of chariots and horses in our lives may be things like financial security or our physical health and strength. These seemingly good things are not to take away our dependence on God. We've said several times that naturally, the COVID-19 situation has forced our church to not rely on any programs or routines that we're used to from before. Can we become more and more dependent on God alone? What does that look like for you? Let's go to him in prayer for greater dependence on him and greater hope in him. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that God, as we're in the midst of seeing your these promises fulfilled, God, where one day you will, Lord, you will reign completely, and the church will reign with you. God, I pray that while we're waiting for that time, we would live in this hope that your name is being made great in all the earth. And God, I pray that just as you cut off just as you promised to cut off all these other things that will make the remnant dependent on things that aren't you, God, I pray that you would do the same in our lives, because in the end, the best thing for us is to depend wholly on you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to do this, help us to not rely on other things, but just look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.